Hey, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jennifer.
And we're the hosts of the Marriage After God podcast. Our desire is to help you cultivate a marriage that chases boldly after God's will for your life together.
We want to invite you to subscribe to our show wherever you watch or listen.
We are so glad you're here, and we pray that our discussion truly blesses you and your marriage.
Welcome to the Marriage After God podcast. Welcome back to week 28 in our 30-week marriage series from the devotionals that we wrote, Husband After God and Wife After God. We want to remind you that you do not have to have these devotionals to go through this series, but if you would like to get a copy, you could just go to shop.marriageaftergod.com and just check those out. Again, it's Husband After God and Wife After God. These are our...
They're our flagship devotionals.
Yeah.
30-day devotionals for husbands and wives.
Yeah. And so the content that we've been sharing on the podcast is based off of the series. It's a little bit different, but it's good to have the physical copies because then you guys can go through the scriptures along with it, read the prayers along with it.
Write your own little prayers and journal questions in the devotionals as well.
Exactly. So so that's the intro that we have for you. If you guys could just take time to like and subscribe, that just helps you know when another podcast episode goes live. But it also helps, you know, algorithm and all of that, get the word out about the Marriage After God podcast. And so we would greatly appreciate that. We also really appreciate reviews. So any sort of feedback that you can give us, star ratings, things like that, super helpful.
We like reading those. So send them our way. So this episode, week 28, we are talking about intimacy. And the title of the episode is Intimacy is More Than Sex, but it definitely includes it. That's a part of it for sure. But to start off, we just want to talk about how the Bible tells us that we have been made in the image of God. Mm-hmm. This is in the very beginning in chapters 1 and 2 of the whole Bible in Genesis. We are told we are made in the image of God. And one of the ways that reveals itself, one of the ways that we're made in the image of God is that if we look at the Trinity, the Godhead, the Bible calls it, the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they have been in perfect, intimate relationship for all of eternity. Mm-hmm. And that's also why it's so dramatic what took place at the cross when there's this moment of broken relationship, this moment of God pouring out his wrath on his Son, and his Son voluntarily doing this for us. But the point of what he did was to bring us into right relationship with him so that we can experience that intimate, close relationship that they've always experienced. The triune God experiences an incredible intimate relationship, being close, being known, mm-hmm. being bonded together in unity. They've been in perfect unity ever since. And that's what God calls us to in the body, unity, relationship, fellowship. We humans, being made in the image of God, we're relational beings. That's a part of the image bearing that we have, is that we need relationship. God tells Adam, it's not good that he be alone. Mm-hmm. So he brings him Eve. He makes a wife out of his own rib. And so this is one of the ways that we exemplify, we show off that we are image bearers of God, that we're relational. We desire intimate relationship with other human beings. And so you are an intimate being designed to experience and maintain deep, intimate relationships. And so specifically talking to married couples, that's what we're like, the intimate relationship that we get to experience gets to take every level of intimacy and take advantage of it. Where outside of marriage, there's levels of intimacy that we are to not engage in. Inside of marriage, we're to engage in every level of intimacy.
Yeah. And this didn't come as like an afterthought or like a good idea later. This also came from right in the beginning. You shared about the triune God and just the unity that they shared. Well, marriage was designed by God. And in Genesis 2:24, it even says, you know, basically like the husband, you're going to leave your mother and father and cleave to your wife. And so that was the design that was established. And we get to partake in a very intimate union with marriage. It's very special and very exclusive.
And it's also very hard. Like this is a hard subject for probably every marriage. Mm-hmm. And I know it's probably been the hardest subject in our own marriage. You know, the start of this whole ministry was on the physical side of intimacy. Mm-hmm. But as we've talked about in past episodes, I struggle in very many ways with emotional intimacy. And so there's different types of levels of intimacy that we're going to talk about today. But we were made to be intimate. We were made to have a relationship, real fellowship, not just have surface level, arm's length relationships, but
actually truly be known.
Yeah, which is the hardest thing because being known is hard. Being seen is hard. Speaking of being known and seen, what's interesting is Adam and Eve in the garden were naked before they sinned. Mm-hmm. And then after they sinned, they realized they were naked. They weren't ashamed of who they were or embarrassed about who they were or recognition of their nakedness or their lack is what that would spiritually represent until after they sinned. And I think that's a good picture of like, even in marriage, being known is so hard because it's like, oh, I'm being shown for all my weaknesses, all my frailties, all my shortcomings. That's now becoming more and more and more visible and exasperated in some senses. Yeah. But, so we're made to, with the ability to listen. You know, this is a part of building that relationship. Mm-hmm. We're made to experience wide ranges of emotions. Those emotions are important for relationship, like experiencing anger and sadness and joy and love and all these different things are some of the ways that we're building these actual bonding and connections in our marriages. The gospel is another picture of this. God desires not to leave us alone. So this, again, going back to this idea of relationship and intimacy, God desires not to leave us alone in our sin, in our death, in our separation from him. And so he desires to make a way for us. And he desired from the very beginning, God had this plan already set in stone to make a way for us to be with him forever so that we also can enjoy, just like I said in the beginning, the same union that they've always enjoyed, that the Trinity has enjoyed forever. So he pursues us with an invitation to join him in a loving relationship through his son, Jesus, and the sacrifice that his son did. Opening up a door, making a way for us to enter into relationship with him, to be reconciled to the Father, which is exactly what Jesus came to do. Mm-hmm.
The awesome thing about marriage is that it's just another like way to experience that intimacy that he's created. Mm-hmm. And the Bible talks about how the picture, the correlation of Jesus with his bride is like a husband and wife. And I just think that's such a beautiful thing that is expressed in Ephesians 5 that we get to glean from. And I know it talks about a mystery and it says that it's very profound. And so I just think it's really cool that we have the opportunity as husbands and wives to experience really deep connective intimacy and closeness in that way.
And the longer we've been married, because we're coming up on 20 years now, which is incredible.
Wild.
The more I realize how much of a mystery it is, this idea of Jesus and his bride, the church, because when we experience all of the stresses of life, all the hardships, all of our flesh getting in the way, it's like, man, God, like on Jesus's side, he does it so perfectly. Like, how does he like love us so well when we have like
so much grace?
Yeah. And so we get to see that every day.
Yeah. So many of us hear that word intimacy, and I think that our minds are immediately drawn to physical intimacy or sex, which you alluded to in the title, how intimacy is so much more than just that. And
but
so
it definitely includes
but it. But it includes it. Yeah. And so we're going to talk about that today too.
But we get to experience each one of these elements. We're going to get into three different types of intimacy here in a moment. But in our marriages, like I said, outside of marriage, like we might be able to experience, you know, different kinds of closeness and intimacy with other relationships in our lives, with our children, with our friends, with our parents, with neighbors. Like there's this level of closeness that we can have. Some there is no level of intimacy at all. There's more. But in marriage, it's the only relationship that we have that we can experience and are to experience all levels of intimacy.
Yeah.
And so it's something that we need to work on. It's not easy. Some of the types of intimacy are going to be easier. Some of the other ones are going to be harder. But I know that as we go along in this marriage, something that we're constantly getting confronted with is that we have to work on each one of them. Mm-hmm. And that no matter which one is easier or harder, at some point, they're all going to be hard to do mm-hmm. because things get in the way. And
but hopefully also enjoyable.
And also enjoy, yeah.
enjoyable yeah. as we cultivate that closeness and that connection.
Right? So, yes. So let's talk about three essential ways of experiencing intimacy in marriage. And this is the three ways that we're going to talk about. It's physical intimacy, emotional intimacy, and then spiritual intimacy. And there's no particular order of this other than I actually do think the spiritual intimacy needs to come first. And we're going to talk about that. But essentially, we're going to talk about each one of these. Some essentials of intimacy to understand before we move on. And this is where I was getting at. Intimacy starts with God, not your spouse.
Mm, why is that?
And this is, a hard thing. This is a hard thing because I've told you, and I think I've brought it up in here. There's certain levels of my relationship with God that I struggle with, like mm-hmm. knowing that closeness, understanding that fathership, you know, fatherhood of God and the relationship I have with him. So there's things that I've struggled with on my interpersonal relationship with you because I struggle with that type mm-hmm. of intimacy. But we can't give what we haven't received. Mm. And so
like what you don't know,
yeah,
like what you haven't experienced.
So like last episode, we talked about abiding in Christ.
Yeah.
And that episode and that chapter in the devotionals comes before intimacy because it's that important. Mm-hmm. We talked about how the treasure that is in us is what's going to come out of us. Mm-hmm. So what I'm putting into me, what I'm right. filling myself up with is what you're going to get out of me or lack of it. Mm-hmm. And so our closeness to Christ will move us closer to our spouse. As you guys have all seen this little illustration of the triangle, you and your spouse at the bottom, you know, ends of the triangle, moving toward God, you get closer together. That's not quite reality, but that's a really simple picture to mm-hmm. point out. Like when we draw closer to God, we are going to draw closer together.
Well, it makes sense because as you abide in him and you spend more time with him and in his word, that's where you really start to understand the definitions of things like love and grace and forgiveness and all those motivations for why we as believers and Christians do what we do, right?
Like they come from him.
They come from him.
Yeah.
And so we need him. We need the Holy Spirit and we need his presence and his word written on our hearts and in our lives so that we can do those things even in marriage.
Yeah. And I think we can do them in many ways without a closeness with Christ, but it's going to be in our own strength. They're going to have shortcomings. They're going to have ulterior motives
yeah.
and conditions.
Yeah.
But as we draw closer to Christ, as we have our relationship with him established and we move forward toward him, it gives us a baseline of understanding on how to love. Like you said, like it's coming from that relationship. Yeah. It teaches us how to love it, how to be compassionate. Mm-hmm. Because these types of things, especially for men, compassionate for most men is probably not a natural state. Mm-hmm. That might be more natural for a woman. And I think God built us that way, but that doesn't mean I shouldn't be compassionate. I need to learn that. I need mm-hmm. to see that. Mm-hmm. I need to experience that. I need to be receiving that from God, how to be prayerful, how to share our hearts, which again, some of this stuff on the emotional side, it probably leans more towards the woman. Mm-hmm. But that, again, that's something that I should be able to do because you need that mm-hmm. just as much as I need that. How to feel connected, build unity, how to serve.
Yeah.
We get that from our relationship with Christ, I think.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, so going back to the devotionals, the husband after God, wife after God, this isn't a direct quote or anything, but both chapters in this book, in the books, do highlight that intimacy requires vulnerability.
Yeah.
And we've shared a lot about this on the podcast and in blogs and books before. But in order to cultivate intimacy in marriage, we do have to be vulnerable. Do you want to speak on that just a little bit?
Again, I think a lot of this goes against our natural states of being. Like we want to be self-protective. We want to be like vulnerability is like the opposite of like
yeah.
protection in a lot of levels. Mm-hmm. And so when your spouse says, you know, I want to feel safe to share. I want to feel safe to X, Y, Z. You name it, what yeah. they want to feel safe in the relationship.
Yeah.
What they're saying is they want to be able to be vulnerable mm-hmm. and not feel in danger that
right.
you're going to use that vulnerability against them. Mm-hmm. And vulnerability
or
is
even
essentially
just knowing like, sorry, cut you off. I was just going to say like, when you do go to share, you know, sometimes sharing something that could feel embarrassing or shameful, there's different emotions wrapped up in the things that we are revealing and making known. And
yeah.
so there's vulnerability there in that sense. And then there's also vulnerability on the person's, on the spouse's side, that's initiating a conversation or a moment of, you know, physicalness. Like you have to put yourself out there first. And basically you're like, I don't know how my spouse is going to respond to this, but here we go. That requires also vulnerability.
Isn't that so interesting that you can be married to someone for so long and like any amount of time, and there's still this like, what do they get? How are they going to respond if I say this or do this? Or, you know, can I, like, we have this, like, this still, and maybe that's something that we need to grow in. I don't know. More vulnerability, mm-hmm. more freedom mm-hmm. in our marriage. I guess that's what we all want. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's important to recognize that vulnerability is like a prerequisite for intimacy.
Yeah.
If you think about Christ, it says that we love because he first loved us. And then the Bible shows us that he loved us by giving himself up for us. Mm-hmm. Like, what's more vulnerable than literally allowing yourself to be killed? Like, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to open my arms up. I'm going to let you put nails in my hands and in my feet. And he did that without any prerequisite on anyone else in his other than his obedience to God.
Yeah.
He made himself vulnerable even to death. And I think we're to have that same level of vulnerability in our marriages, or at least working towards, at least prayerfully, like, God, teach me how to do this. Help mm-hmm. me be just a little bit more vulnerable. Help me to not be so afraid to share, to talk, to listen, to receive mm-hmm. With my spouse. So both need to initiate vulnerability.
Yeah.
Both need to have that. We both need to initiate emotionally and physically mm-hmm. in intimacy. But we're going to look at how vulnerability, first and foremost, plays out in each one of these areas. It plays a significant role, like we just talked about. So let's talk about physical intimacy first.
Okay.
Because this is what everyone thinks of for the most part.
Yeah, might as well get it out of the way.
We'll start with it. Again, not in particular order.
No, but I know for us, like, the physical intimacy issue for us, like, showed up right away. And so it just impacted so much of our marriage and every other aspect of us trying, especially early on in our marriage, trying mm-hmm. to be vulnerable and not really knowing how. Man, that just takes me right back.
Yeah.
But
well, and I think that
better now.
That initial response that, like you, we said, like that a lot of marriages, a lot of women, a lot of men, either like men are going to elevate it probably higher than they should, and then women are going to devalue it. And then I'm generalizing.
Yeah, I was
going to
say not every case,
but like less than they should, mm-hmm. right? And I think that even is a symptom of the reality of physical intimacy is that important mm-hmm. that there is a misbalance in marriage of how we're perceiving it, but it's
necessary.
It's a necessary part of our marriage. It's not the only thing, mm-hmm. but it is absolutely fundamentally important to the marriage relationship.
Mm-hmm. And just on a like biological note, like it has to do with our bodies and our physical biological senses and how we experience the world around us. And so I think it's a good thing and a beneficial thing for us to take pleasure in that in marriage, mm-hmm. whether it's hand-holding, hugging. I know I get so much comfort from you just from a hug, kissing, sex, like all of these things that build that unity and show oneness
and
in marriage.
Closeness and safety. Yeah. And, mm-hmm. But vulnerability in the physical, accepting and embracing each other's bodies, mm-hmm. That's a big deal. Like that my wife knows that I love her body.
Yeah.
That you know mm-hmm. or that I know that you love my body.
Well, yeah, you're being exposed down to your most like natural state.
We're naked and exposed. And
the parts that are not revealed to everyone.
Well, yeah, like they're special to literally one person. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we need to recognize is that this part of intimacy, there's only one person in your life that is ever allowed to experience it with you. And that's your spouse. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty amazing. And so here's some of the things that we want you guys to consider when it comes to physical intimacy and why it's so important. Like you brought up, it's integral to emotional and spiritual regulation.
Well, yeah, it like lends and contributes to, they all connect, like the all of them connects. Yeah.
So physically, we want to feel closer and more connected. Mm-hmm. When we say that, what we're actually saying is there's certain chemicals that our bodies release that help us to feel that.
Yeah.
Those get released during sex. Mm-hmm. physical intimacy, specifically sex, is the biblical model that God made for consummation. Mm-hmm. So when two became married in the Bible, there was two things that took place. There was, they were married contractually. Mm-hmm. And then there was the consummation of that marriage, which was when they came together and had sex. That was when, like, oh, this is official. Yeah. It cannot be broken. Like, otherwise you're committing adultery if you mm-hmm. go outside of this. And it's also God's official model for childbearing. It's like, this is how God grows the world and grows the kingdom and grows our families, is through sex.
I didn't put the verses here, but I love when the Bible talks about
together.
Yep. But it uses the word known.
Yeah, it never says sex.
They knew each other.
Well, it uses two words. It's like fornication, which is the negative kind. That's the outside of marriage. That's done outside of God's plan. And there's, he knew mm-hmm. her, or she knew him. Mm-hmm. Like, that knowledge. They had that level of knowledge that only they can have.
So special.
Yeah. It's the literal manifestation. So sex, two people coming together. It's the literal manifestation, the physical, biological, of two people becoming one flesh. Mm-hmm. Like we said, when children are born, that child has two people's DNA. Mm-hmm. That is the fruit, literally, of two people becoming one. Mm-hmm. That's on the highest level of importance, mm-hmm. is that God invented it for that, which is amazing.
There's also, like you said, hormone regulation and things, chemical reactions within the body that happen when there's closeness, when there's a coming together like that. And mm-hmm. And then on the emotional side of, like, you're building trust and security and safety within each other's embrace and mm-hmm. and experience. So
you, all good things. You brought up holding hands and kissing and just, like, non-sexual contact, mm-hmm. Which, to be honest, I feel like for men, like, all contact is sexual contact. I'm just being honest here, but holding your hands.
I think sometimes you have an ideal that men are the only ones.
I only know what I know. So I'm going to say that. I only know what I know.
I'm just saying that I think women think about it too.
They do. You're right. We can put everyone in the same category. I'm fine with that.
I think I'll just say this. I think that there's moments and seasons in marriage where spouses are on the same page, and then they're not on the same page. And then there's lots of sides in between.
Yeah. On both sides.
Yeah.
Holding hands reminds each other that you're near, mm-hmm. available. Holding hands also releases a lot of those same hormones and chemicals that feel good, makes you feel close.
Pleasure senses.
Kissing. Kissing is one of the most, like, closest personal intimate things you can mm-hmm. do outside of sex. Putting your faces so close together, lips touching. It's so intimate. It's so gentle. It's such something so special. Mm-hmm. I know when we kiss, I always think, like, man, we should do this more. Like, why don't we kiss way more often? Some other things on the non-sexual touch side of things: cuddling, tickle rubs, massages, mm-hmm. like things that are, they build unity. They build, they bring, comfort, relaxation. I don't know about you, but
yeah, totally.
I love feeling relaxed.
I think we all do.
Yeah. I just want to read this verse. This is 1 Corinthians 7, 3 through 5. And this is how important the Bible sees physical intimacy, sex. Paul says this to the church in Corinth. He says, "The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights," and that just simply means sex, "and likewise the wife to her husband, for the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control." Hmm. So as believers, we do need to take this part of our marriages very seriously. As Christians who are married and who love God, we need to see the sexual relationship between you and your spouse as serious as the Bible does, mm-hmm. as God does. I don't have ownership over my own body. My wife does. My wife doesn't have ownership of her body. I do. And it's that mutual ownership, that mutual responsibility and obligation that we have to each other that we need to be very aware of, mm-hmm. and communicative about. Mm-hmm. So, like, if there doesn't be a time, which that happens, that we communicate about it and we're prayerful during that time.
I'll be honest. There's been times that I wasn't communicating where I was at, and you had to
communicate
yeah. and tell me, like, what's up, what's going on. And so I just wanted to share that, because I think sometimes it can feel awkward or hard to be vulnerable and share where we're at, but it's so important, because the spouse is going to sense and feel disconnected. And so it's really beneficial to just be able to talk about it. And then the other thought that I had is not using sex and physicalness in marriage. When you're, not like withholding it for certain reasons. I guess out of more negative emotions. So like bitterness, frustration, anger, things like that.
Yeah. And it needs to be a priority. And also, like what you're saying is, maybe it's not out of bitterness or an anger, but if one spouse in the relationship has more control over that than the other, that's an imbalance that needs to be discussed. There should not be, that leaves room for temptation. It leaves room for influence from the enemy. And so there shouldn't be one spouse in the relationship that is fully in charge of that schedule, that timing. Yeah. And that,
or even just one spouse being the one that's always initiating.
Yeah. Definitely needs to be a little bit more balanced, and there's going to be seasons, and that's okay. I think if going back and forth, but it's not something we just can neglect. It's got to be seen as a vital, important necessity in marriage. Second, emotional intimacy. This is one that has been hard for me, to be honest.
It's all about the heart. And for me, it's something that's a priority in the sense that it's kind of harder for me to be physical if I feel disconnected emotionally. So, I just feel like it's so, use the word vital already, but vital, crucial, important to be able to connect on this emotional level where you are able to share your thoughts, your feelings, opinions, preferences, whatever is in your heart, even the negative of like fears, worries, all of it.
Oh, and I would say I've over the years struggled with feeling like I could be I already have a hard time with emotional like connection, but when the physical hasn't been there, when that's been hard, that makes it harder for me to want to be emotionally connected. I think that's why God designed us this way, is that we would fulfill these things for each other and in each other. But I'm not saying those aren't excuses. Right. Like the Bible doesn't say if your wife, fulfills this for you, then you can love her well.
Right.
And if your husband does this for you, then you can fulfill this for him. Like it doesn't tell us that. We are to do this as husbands. I am to love my wife a certain way and be able to be vulnerable with her and receive her in emotional well-being and care for that. And the physical has got to be the same way. But this is probably something that a lot of husbands struggle with. I don't know. Again, I only know what I know. maybe it's just me. I have struggled with this. It's something that I've had to learn through. It's something that you've had many conversations with me saying, hey, this is how my heart feels. This is where I'm at. And I feel like you can't hear me. I feel like you don't receive this. I feel like I can't come to you. And that's a reality that I've had to pray through and work
through.
You
have worked on it.
And we've had to talk about it a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. But I've appreciated your response to those types of conversations and learning to grow in that aspect of feeling more connected that way.
Yeah. And one of my problems is I feel like I only have like two emotions or three, maybe. I have to like expand my emotional horizons to experience more. Yeah. But it's something I care about. I know that when you see me trying, even if I don't do it perfectly, it drastically affects you. And like you recognize it and you're like, oh, I appreciate that you are trying that and trying to be connected to me this way. One big one is when you are having big emotions on whatever it is.
I don't have big emotions.
Well, they happen. And my natural response is an unemotional, like, well, here's the answer. And I know I've seen memes on this, like just try and diagnose, right? But when I come to you and I just like hold you, it like changes the whole thing. It like, and then I think to myself, I'm like, why don't I always just do this? it's hard to like get to that point. I don't know what it is, but like I notice when I just come over and I just hold you, I don't say anything. Or I say, this is something I just did recently. I was like, that all sounds really hard. Right. And I validated.
Yeah.
Which is also really hard for me to do, but I loved the fruit that came from it. Mm-hmm. So even though that like was not a natural thing to do when I did it, I was like, oh, this feels good.
Yeah.
I like the response that's happening. I like how you felt better. Mm-hmm. And then like later on, you like smiled at me like, I was like, that's all you needed was a hug.
I was like, hey. Sometimes that is all.
Yeah. Right. It's not always, but that's.
I think it's because when we're sharing our hearts and we're being vulnerable, we're not just sharing it to find that solution or fix to the heaviness. I think we just want to know that someone else sees it or that it exists.
That
know?
I can bear it with you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so a big part of emotional connection and cultivation is good listening. Like that you're being attentive, that you're not sitting there while your spouse is sharing their heart and you're on your phone or you are, you know, half in, half out.
I never have done that. I'm just kidding.
No, but
I have done that. And you're right. It's not good listening if I'm like preoccupied with something else.
Don't be preoccupied. I think that people in general, especially like when you're busy and you're just going from work to the next thing, you do want to just be seen and heard and known and valued. And sometimes for someone just to be like, it's going to be okay. Can I pray for you?
Yeah.
Can I give you a hug?
Asking your spouse to pray for them is a huge way to emotionally connect with them, which also connects to the spiritual intimacy.
Yeah.
But it's letting them know like, hey, let me bring this to the Lord with you.
Yeah. I will say sometimes we do need help on the fixing side. And so don't
try and fix.
Sometimes we need that.
Are we supposed to come and say, hey, do you just want me to listen or do you want advice?
Hey, maybe.
Are you looking for prescription or just subscription? And you want me to subscribe to what's going on? Is that it? You've heard me talk about Samaritan Ministries and how believers come together to care for each other's medical needs. Well, Samaritan has recently launched Redeem Health Share Ministry. It's an additional sharing option from Samaritan that offers flexible, affordable programs with the same biblical foundation, all through a modern digital platform. Redeem still gives you the freedom to choose your providers, as well as the option to include an exclusive add-on feature to help with expenses related to dental care, vision, routine, and preventative care. New features, new programs, new options. Check it out at redeemhealthshare.org for more information. That's redeemhealthshare.org for more information. Something that can get in the way of emotional intimacy is sometimes a spouse comes with their heart the wrong way.
Which I've done.
And I've done. Mm. And like that's a really hard
being disrespectful
thing to work through and to get to that connection point when you feel like what was presented was disrespectful or you feel like all of a sudden it's your fault. This blame is something shifting, that I struggle with. Yeah. Like, feeling like I have to defend myself if I'm like, oh, I'm the root of all your problems. I'm not saying you said that, but that's how I feel internally. There might have been times. But if I feel that, then all of a sudden, like, I'm now wrestling with my own internal, you know, dialogue and emotions. And it sometimes, you know, hijacks the ability for me to come to you and be at your level and to be where you're at and to meet you.
Good point.
Which is something that takes the Holy Spirit's helping because I don't know how to, there's moments that I'm just like, Lord, I have literally no idea how to
been there too.
get to this point right now.
I will say that when you go long periods of time without deep conversation or connecting in this emotional way where you're sharing your feelings and hearts and thoughts and things that you're going through, it's harder to do. Like, I don't know why, it's almost like breaking the ice. Like, it just feels like,
yeah, it's nervous that, all over again. It's like,
but it also feels bigger and deeper because there's more to talk about. And so my encouragement, our encouragement is to do it more on the regular, being able to seek that space and time where you guys are communicating well and sharing those things on a regular basis kind of makes it feel lighter than, you know, stuffing it. And then there's a bunch more that needs to come out all in one. Yeah. One sitting, one session.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Did I say that right?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. More regular occurrence equals less large incidences.
I think. Incidences sound terrible.
Incidences. situations.
Well, I just think that, the same way when you think about physical like being physical and having sex with your spouse.
Yeah, the more often you have
it. The more often you have it, the better.
The less you need it. I like where we're going with this. Okay. Why don't you share that, one of those first moments that you feel like we really connected?
Oh.
Early on. That was like year one.
Getting a little personal.
Year one of our marriage. Way back when.
So I have this memory of us when we were traveling missionaries, and this was just within like maybe 4 or 5 months of our marriage, but yeah. We had already experienced a few things that were pretty hard. And I remember this one day we had walked out.
We're in Malawi, right?
Yeah, we were in Malawi. And so
Africa.
There's this huge lake, and we walked out to this, like, it wasn't a pier, but it was just like this little walkway,
little boat dock thing,
boat dock with a gazebo on it. And we sat there for a while, and I remember our feet dangling, and in the water you could see, like, you know, a bunch of fish swimming around. And mm-hmm. It was really hot outside, and I just remember it being like a really nice day, but also really heavy, because that was the first time that we really like dug in to things that we were wrestling with and being vulnerable and mm-hmm. sharing our hearts with one another. And I think it was one of those incidences where I had been stuffing, and this was like my moment of, and here it all is.
Dumping. Yeah.
It wasn't as emotional as it was just, we sat in it mm-hmm. for a while. And I remember just sitting there as we both were kind of sharing back and forth and thinking like, man, this feels really good. It feels like we were in it together.
Yeah. I remember sitting there and seeing the fish. I don't remember the
the conversation, the
emotional stuff. Again, aww. I have some broken emotional problems okay. here.
No, it was great.
I do want to end this section with going back to what we talked about right in the very beginning, that if we expect to receive all of our emotional support, all of our emotional bearing from our spouse, that's the wrong person for us to get it from. Mm-hmm. Now, this is not me giving an excuse for me not to be emotionally available to you. But if our expectation mm-hmm. Is to get that all comes from one place mm-hmm. and it's not God, it's not our relationship with Christ and his word and our relationship with him, then we will put weight and burden on our spouse that doesn't belong to them. Mm-hmm. And that's in the same with the physical.
I was going to say, we'll also experience disappointment because
yes,
inevitably a spouse will fail and not fulfill the expectation that you have for them.
Absolutely. And so I'm just pointing out for us that your wife is not meant to fulfill every aspect of you as a husband. And a husband is not meant to fulfill every aspect of their wife as a husband. We are for sure here to fulfill things and mm-hmm. to play roles and to be our partner, mm-hmm. you know, be a partner to our spouse mm-hmm. In every way. But we need to be relying first and foremost for our true relationship and intimacy from the Lord.
Amen.
And then all of the rest from our spouse is bonus. So, which now leads us into spiritual intimacy, the soul. So mm-hmm. there was the body, there was the heart, and now there's the soul.
Nice.
Again, we talked about being made in the image of God. Mm-hmm. You know, God's a triune God, in three
different
three different people. Mm-hmm. But we get three different, you know, aspects of ourselves. We have a mind, we have a soul, we have a heart, we have this body. So I'm throwing all these things out there, but we are not just one thing. Mm-hmm. There's different elements to us. And our soul matters. The spiritual intimacy that we have with God, with our spouse, with our children, with our friends, with our church, all of these things matter. And vulnerability is like the linchpin of all of it. Mm-hmm. If I'm distant and surface, there literally is no intimacy.
Yeah.
It's fake, deep relationship. Mm-hmm. And so this kind of vulnerability includes prayer and worship. You know, do we pray and worship together? Mm-hmm. Do we go to the Lord together? Do we encourage each other to mm-hmm. pray? Do we hear prayers out loud? Or is it just like, I have my prayer life quietly over mm-hmm. here and you have yours and we never come together and pray together? That matters.
Yeah. I also think a big part of spiritual intimacy is sharing your relationship with God with your spouse. And so something that we do is we'll ask each other, like, what have you been learning in the word lately? Or, you know, just
what are some big questions you've had?
What is God teaching you? Because he does teach us through his word, but also through experiences. And so I think that it's good to let your spouse know what's going on. Mm-hmm. Like, how is your relationship with God?
Ministering to our souls, mm-hmm. you know, ministering to each other.
Like encouraging each other, reminding each other about the truth.
That's another, like going back to the emotional and the physical, mm-hmm. like bringing your spouse to the Lord and saying, hey, like, I want to remind you of this truth, not mm-hmm. to get what I want, mm-hmm. but this is so good for you. It's so good for us. Yeah. Like, let's not neglect this. Let's, you know, I know that you need this, you know, emotional support, and I need to pray through that and work through that. So mm-hmm. there's this communication happening on the spiritual side.
There's also taking communion together, serving God together,
like
working in ministry together even.
Well, everyone's working in ministry, right?
Right.
We're supposed to be. 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Mm. Our spiritual relationship with God, and recognizing that God is love, not the world's love, the Bible's love, what God defines love mm-hmm. as. God is that. We cannot love our spouse well without knowing God, without loving God, without receiving God's love in us to come through us to our spouse. Mm-hmm. The love I have to offer is so poor compared to the love that I get to offer from God. Mm-hmm. His version of love, his version of support, his version of intimacy is so much richer and better than what I'm capable of bringing to the table. And so we need to recognize that it needs to come from him. So
that's good. At the beginning of this episode, we talked about that mystery, that profound mystery of a husband and wife, and then Christ and his bride, and what that represents. And so I'm going to read Ephesians 5:25-26. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. So that is what Christ is doing.
One, he shows a picture that our earthly marriages get to imitate this, mm-hmm. get to point to this by the way we love each other, by the way we walk with each other, by the way we treat each other and encourage each other, and all of the aspects of marriage, the way we are intimate with each other, get to point to that mystery, because that's what it was meant to do. Mm-hmm. It was meant to be an earthly example of a heavenly truth. And in this picture, we see Christ is cleansing his church with his word, which is a really cool thing to think about. Jesus even tells his disciples, he's like, you're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Mm-hmm. Like, he uses this example of the word that he's spoken cleans us because it points us to him. So Christ's example in this, he cleanses his church with the word. Christ's example is he prays for us. And so reading scripture together, praying together, worshiping together, confessing to each other, these are things that Christ exemplified in his relationship with the disciples, with the church at large. And it's something that we get to walk in with mm-hmm. each other spiritually.
So good.
Walking in these things.
It's awesome. These are the things that build spiritual intimacy in marriage. And these things help us be known by each other, physically known, like knowing our bodies and being vulnerable in that way, knowing our hearts and our emotional state and what we're going through, what we're bearing, and bearing it with each other. And then
spiritually.
Yeah, being able to walk with each other in faithfulness and in faith and in humility and grace, and learning about God and spending time and abiding in him so that we can be good spouses for each other.
Mm-hmm. So building walls, having harder and harder hearts, that's the opposite of vulnerability, and that severs intimacy. So the more vulnerable we can become, the softer we become. That's what builds intimacy. And it's hard. It's a hard thing to do because it requires putting our flesh down, because our flesh wants to protect itself.
Yeah.
And we say we have to put it aside to become vulnerable, to be known and seen. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, that's really good.
It's good stuff.
intimacy is often missed because of little things becoming really big things in marriage. And so we want to encourage you guys not to miss those opportunities of intimacy, because you're letting, you know, problems and issues and conflict overwhelm you. It's really important that you're willing to take things to the table and work it out and work through it, not just avoid it, not just stuff it down, not just be explosive over these things, but really take care of them and seek each other's interest in the matter. Be good listeners, be humble hearted. These are all things we're preaching to ourselves, because we know that with marriage comes a lot of different, like you said earlier, seasons. You go through things, there's ups and downs, you could be having a great week and then all of a sudden something comes up and you guys are in a hard spot. And
it doesn't matter what season it is, but we have to be careful because we can be caught off guard. Yeah. Things are going to come.
Mm-hmm. Our flesh often gets in the way, which you already mentioned. And we also do have an enemy that is going to try and get a stronghold in our marriage.
And then we have like these little things like our phones or our schedules.
Little distractions, yeah.
Or exhaustion that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So we, unmet expectations, mm-hmm. like these are the kinds of things that they don't just present themselves and say, here I am, yeah. I'm a distraction. We let them happen and we're not aware. And we just walk in it rather than like, mm-hmm. oh, actually I gotta I gotta open my eyes. Mm-hmm. I'm missing this. So,
and both spouses should be willing to initiate. We kind of mentioned that a little bit earlier, but just the importance of both of you having the courage and the bravery to initiate vulnerability and the three parts of intimacy that we have already shared about. And did you share about contingency? I forget if you share about it, but just both husband after God and wife after God, we encourage throughout the chapters that we should be doing our part regardless of whether the other person is doing theirs.
Yeah,
that's such an important.
Yeah, we always say our obedience is not contingent on our spouse's obedience.
Yeah, you know? Because what happens is if that's the case, if you're relying on them to fulfill their part and having that expectation, you're just going to get into a vicious cycle of nobody doing anything, and that's not good.
it's really bad, actually. Yeah, one spouse doing something is better than two spouses doing nothing.
Yeah.
So, two spouses should do this. Like, you know, the three aspects of intimacy. It's not like you get one, I get the other, and right. you know, we'll split the third. Like each one of us have a responsibility to be initiating each one of them.
Yeah. I think even more so knowing that we are going to fail each other. Like the expectation shouldn't be like, well, he's not, or she's not, because there's going to be times when he's not and she's not. And we have to be willing. We have to ask ourselves, are we still willing to step in the gap, to still pray for them, to still initiate physically, mm-hmm. emotionally, all those things.
I love that. Yeah. I was just talking to some people, I think our men's group, and I was just talking about how throughout the Old Testament, there were so many times that something terrible was about to happen, like God's wrath was about to happen, and like one person was able to like divert, you know, a calamity, like this big thing, and you're like, oh, like because that person was there, you know, all of Israel was saved, you know? And I think, I mean, all of those pointing to, of course, the one person, Jesus, like because of Jesus, like all of humanity can be saved. But the same is true in our marriages. Like if you're waiting for the other person to do something, you're going to wait a long time. Just wait for you. Like you can take action and your one action, your one act of obedience can be the changing factor in your entire marriage.
Yeah. Cause you can influence and encourage your spouse. And then maybe they take the next step, you know, and you guys go back and forth in a good cycle, a good way of being toward each other.
Way awesome.
Yeah. All right. So with all of that, we wanted to wrap up with a quick practical list of ways you can be initiating intimacy. And really, this is just to encourage your little thought process on what to do next, because everybody who's listening right now, maybe your marriage is maybe it's in a unique spot. Maybe it's in a rut. Maybe it's going great. Wherever you're at, these ways will work. These ways will encourage growth.
This is for those who have the personality type. They just like a good checklist.
Yeah.
This is like me. Like, can you just give me like the three three checks, check boxes. Like I go into the store and I'm like, send me a text message. What do you need me to get?
Yeah. I'll do whatever you say. No, I think sometimes it's good to just share ideas and ideas so that you can, I don't know.
Take advantage of the ideas.
Feel inspired. Yeah. Why don't you list them?
An honest and transparent conversation about faith, life, or marriage. Like that's a, just get down like, hey, what's been going on? Mm-hmm. Like, where's your heart with God these days? How are you feeling about life right now? That might be a big question for some
people. Dig in.
Sex.
You can initiate sex.
Just have some sex. Do it. Like this is, I know that makes you feel really uncomfortable. You guys, confessing sins and reconciliation.
This is a big one. And it's hard because being known in that way, like we said, requires vulnerability. Mm-hmm. But there's been so much good that comes from being honest with each other and sharing where you're at and desiring that reconciliation. It breaks down those walls of bitterness and and strongholds that the enemy has had. So it's good. Good things to do. Drag it into the light.
Praying together. Mm-hmm. Going on a date night. Writing a love letter. Do you like letters?
I do.
Yeah, letters are cool. You're actually good at writing letters too.
Do you like letters?
I do. Yeah. Recreating an old favorite date.
This would be like, think of back when you were actually dating, like before marriage. Yeah. Could be fun.
Having fun together, a hobby or a game. We love playing games with like friends. We used to do it a lot more when we had like one kid, but we just did this the other day and it was so much fun having friends over and playing marbles. So that's a fun thing to do.
I was going to say, I love gardening and I love doing it with you. I love when you get out there and we get dirty and
like in the morning, you're like, do you want to go walk in the garden?
Yeah.
Sun with the sun beaming.
I love it.
Talking about future goals and dreams. This is a really great way to get those big future pictures, mm-hmm. which and it's a builds positive, unity. Yeah.
It's a positive way of connecting emotionally. Cause sometimes like earlier we were talking about emotionally connecting and having big, deep conversations, but it doesn't always have to be negative. Right.
Yeah. Of course.
Right.
Yeah. last one, serving and blessing each other, like breakfast in bed. Like these are just really cool ways to, simple ways.
Yeah.
Everyone loves breakfast in bed, unless you're not a breakfast lover. And that's weird because I love breakfast.
We have a child that doesn't care for breakfast.
Yeah. I don't know why. Your breakfast is so good.
Okay. At the end of every episode, we end with a quote from Marriage After God. This one says, a marriage after God is a single unit moving in the same direction, convictions held to the same doctrine and motivated by the same vision. Your pursuits and priorities in life should never be motivated by selfish ambition, nor should you put your own interests above your spouse.
Hmm. That's good.
Yeah.
Discussion questions for you all to consider this week. How does intimacy in marriage build over time?
By doing it. You got to get in there and do it.
Just got to do it.
Got to do it. So I talked about gardening. Mm-hmm. And like if you want a beautiful garden with no weeds, you have to get out there and pull the weeds.
And you got to till that soil.
You got to amend it. You got to water it. You got to do, you know what I'm talking about.
I do. I think everyone knows what you're talking about. It does build over time. Because, I think it can deteriorate over time. In the same way, if you neglect it, if you avoid it, if you don't want to do anything with it.
Yeah. I think the building happens when you continually get to know each other and not stop at this plateau of thinking that you already know each other. I think there's a continual, let's get to know each other aspect of, not mm-hmm. that you're a stranger, but that we change over time and we have different, you know, things that we're going through and maybe even our preferences change. I don't know.
I think that's actually a big thing for everyone to recognize is that, I mean, 20 years in, we're not the same people that we were when we got married.
It's true.
Not even close. And that's going to be constantly happening until the day we die. We're going to be growing and maturing, being sanctified. Mm-hmm. New things are going to be coming to the surface that God's trying to sanctify out of us.
Right.
So.
Okay. Next question. What keeps you from initiating, Aaron?
What keeps me from initiating?
Yeah, what keeps you?
Well, not much. That's not true, actually.
When I'm out of town.
Yeah, when I'm out of town, it keeps me from initiating. even then, I'll still try to initiate.
I'll tell you guys what keeps me from initiating. Feeling worn out or exhausted as a mom and just always trying to manage life. Not an excuse, but it does, like, being exhausted makes me feel like I can't. And so that's a hurdle that we have to, I have to get over or get encouragement to be able to do.
Yeah, that was good. Why is it important to pursue a loving relationship with your spouse every day?
Because, like I said earlier, when it's consistent, it's easier.
It's true. And you know what's funny is it sounds like this is like, of course you should pursue a loving relationship. But in reality, I think most days is autopilot for most people.
Yeah.
Like, well, not that I'm not trying to be loving or not that someone else isn't trying to be, but it's like work, kids, chores, bank accounts, the car, like, and then like you go to sleep and you wake up and then you do it again. Mm. And there's just a autopilot of like, yeah, things are good. We're fine. We're okay. And then like all of a sudden we're like, oh, we're not fine. What's happening?
I was going to say, I think you have to be intentional to step outside of the, what do we have to do today in order to remind yourselves that there is something, a priority here of being able to love each other well and make each other feel special and all those good things.
That's good. Last question. Why is listening and talking such an essential part of building intimacy in marriage?
Yeah. Communication is key. You said it in the beginning. You said we are made in God's image and he made us relational beings. And you can't really experience a relationship with someone without points of connection.
Yeah.
You know?
You got to talk.
You got to do it.
Call to action. Here's your action for the week. What you got to do. Choose one way to initiate intimacy this week with your spouse. Remember, we gave you a whole list.
A short, brief, easy to do list. You could literally tackle all of them.
Pray together, deep conversation, talk about goals, dream together, serve each other, have sex. There's a lot of ways you can do this.
Have fun.
Yep. Okay. I'm going to pray for us and then we're going to get out of here. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for the gift of intimacy. We thank you that you made us in your image, Lord, that we get to experience relationship with not just our spouse, but with the church at large, with our children, with so many different other people, Lord. And I thank you that our spouse gets to experience every level of intimacy with us. Teach us how to be better at intimacy, Lord, and how to be known better. Teach us who struggle with emotional intimacy, help us be better at that. Teach those who struggle with physical intimacy, help them be better at that, Lord. Lord, I know all of us struggle with spiritual intimacy on just various levels, Lord. Draw us near to you, Lord. Help us know you better. Sanctify us, Lord. We thank you for all of these things. We thank you for our spouses. Lord, we desire to have marriages that reflect your kingdom and point people to Jesus. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us on this episode. We got two more left in this series. So make sure you're subscribed and check out shop.marriageaftergod.com and pick up the devotionals, Husband After God and Wife After God, and go through them with us. See you next time.